thank the Lord for being here this evening, and we'd like to share what the Lord inspired me with. This kind of goes along with the morning message, but I had it before that. But anyway, just pray God will bring out what he wants. But Revelation 7 and 13, it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" I guess there was a question mark after that too. But anyway, these white robes, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? You know, when we get to heaven, that's what we'll have, white robes. "And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Tribulation, I would say more like the biblical tribulation, what this means is an experience that tests one's endurance, patience, or faith in trials of life, distress or sufferings resulting from persecution and trying experiences, annoying or frustrating trials of life. So tribulation, this one special part, is an experience that tests one's endurance, patience, or faith in trials of life. I believe we sang that song sometime today, Virtue of Faith. But the Lord wants us to have endurance, and he wants us to have patience in life, and he wants us to keep our faith in trials of life. We can be more than conquerors through Christ. These that inherit heaven and have these white robes, these are the kind of people. They went through these things. We'd like to turn over to Revelation 19. And we just thank the Lord tonight for his victory in Christ. It's not that we're so strong or that we can endure so in our own self, but through prayer and faith, God helps us to endure, helps us to hold on, helps us to be faithful. In Revelation 19 and 6, "And I heard, as it were," 19 and 6, "a voice, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant." But we thank the Lord tonight for the victory that we can have in Christ. And we want to obtain that white robe. And we want to be faithful. Matthew 22. We want to go over to Matthew 22 and 30. Thank the Lord tonight for his power to keep us, have the righteousness of saints. That linen was the righteousness of our lives through Christ, through his blood. That's the kind of people we're going to meet in heaven. Holy people, godly people, righteous people, people that fought a good fight, kept the faith. They endured hard things, but they did not quit. They kept pressing on. Matthew 22 and 2 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You know, when our time comes to die and we meet God, we must have holiness, righteousness through Christ. We must be saved from sin, sanctified, pure, godly people when we come to meet God. We can't go into this wedding without the right garment. The garment is holiness. The garment is righteousness. God will take nothing less than that. That's what God wants. That's what he's going to have. And there's nobody going to go to heaven that's not holy and godly. There's no wickedness in heaven. The devil never was an angel in heaven and was kicked out because there's no sin in heaven. And there's just nothing going to be in heaven but pure godliness, holiness, righteousness. And we must have the right garment. And the wedding garment is pure, white. He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And then if you go on, the 29th verse of that same chapter, it says, for in the resurrection, and 30th verse, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So we know that we are going to be as angels of God in heaven. And the angels were created holy, righteous beings, you know, but we had to be born again. We were created in our human flesh. We had to be saved. We had to be born again. But in the end of our life, when we get to heaven, we will be as angels in heaven. It said, nor are they given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. That's the way we'll be. And so, you know, we praise God for this. The only that we could be this way is through Christ. Only through him that we could obtain this holiness. But I just encourage us tonight to go after God and get close to him and be all that he wants you to be and have on that wedding garment. Be ready to meet God at any time. We never know when God will take us, but be ready to go. And St. Luke 9 and 23, it says here, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Every single day, take up your cross and follow him. Every one of us have different cross. Every one of us may have different things. But we can take up that daily and follow Christ. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, we can have a temptation sometime to save our life. Or what I'm trying to say is go in a direction that maybe God wouldn't want us to go in. And it may not even be sin, but it'll be just a less cross. Remember the story about the minister that had a dream? And he wanted to preach the gospel and be what he should be. But his wife wanted to dress a little differently. And she wanted to cut off some of the cross. And so she kept asking him to do these things. So she finally started to do those things, dressing differently. She still wanted to be saved, but she didn't want to do some of the cross. And so she just kept trying to shorten the cross. And talked him into that, and he had a dream. And it was something like, I might not have the story exactly right, but you probably have heard it. But he had a dream, and there was like a big river, and he was standing on one side of it, and heaven was over there, and he had a cross, and he put it across, but it was too short. It didn't reach the other side because he had cut it off. He cut things off, tried to make an easier way. This is our flesh sometimes. We don't want to listen to the flesh. We want to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do, whatever work he wants us to do, whatever he's calling us to do. We must obey him and do what he wants us to do, because we can't cut off our cross. And we can't do that, because then we come to die, we may not have all of it might not be right, and we might not have enough to make it to heaven. And I'm not trying to scare us in a wrong way, but we do need to fear the Lord and keep his commandments. And we need to work on being righteousness. And it's not too hard for us to do this through Christ. In our own self, we may think, oh, I just can't be. But, you know, through Christ, we can be all what God wants us to be. And we don't have to listen to the devil. And we don't have to listen to him to want us to cut off our cross. We don't want to do that. It says here, take up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whoever wants to just take their life and do whatever they want with it, they're going to end up losing their life. But it says here, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So see, it may look like to the world that we're losing our life. It may look like that we're not going to the things that they go to. We're not dressing the way they are, and it looks like we're losing our life. But it's just the opposite. We're losing our life for Christ, and we're saving our life. We're saving our life because, like we heard this morning, there's people have problems no matter if you're saved or not saved. It's mankind. But you know what? With Christ, he helps us to be more than a conqueror. He helps us to have the victory, and we have joy in it. How I can explain it is because Christ is in us, and he gives us joy in these things, and we can be more than a conqueror. And it says, so for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? So, you know, if we gain the whole world and we lose Christ, it would be nothing. It would be nothing. It says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words of him, shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, this is one thing that I've tried to really be careful with, because I'm not saying we need to make a show of it or nothing like that. I'm not saying that in a different way. But if we're at a restaurant, don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be ashamed of Christ. You know what I mean? Don't be ashamed of the way you're dressed. We kind of forget the way that we look different because it's been so many years we've dressed this way. But other people, you know, they notice. But, you know, don't be ashamed of that, because God says it. Don't be ashamed. He said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. We don't want God to be ashamed of us. If we're ashamed to pray in public because we're ashamed, that's not good, because I'm not saying we got to be real louder or anything or try to make a show, you know, but if the Lord wants us to pray, we need to pray. We need to be just like we are always, and don't be ashamed. When he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels, we're not ashamed of the Lord. We're not ashamed of the way we dress or wear our hair or whatever, because, and I know we're not ashamed of these things because Jesus saved our soul, and we know what it's all about. We know that we have the best thing this side of heaven, and we have the victory. And you know, I just thank the Lord for his victory. I wanted to talk a little bit about a story. It's a real familiar, but I don't know, I just felt inspired to talk about it. And it's in 1 Samuel. It's about David. And you know, there's some really good nuggets of truth in this story about how he fought a good fight. And, you know, and David and Goliath. And we want to read just different ones there. But in 1 Samuel 17, let's come here. It says in the 26th verse, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man Now, you know, first of all, he was out taking care of the sheep. There was a few sheep, and he did leave them with a keeper. But his father told him to go down to the battle. He wasn't invited to the battle at first, but his father sent him down there with a lunch. I think it was 10 loaves of bread and 10 cheeses to take to his brothers. And so that's why he went down there. And then he asked some questions, and he said, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Excuse me. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I didn't want to try to get as God was calling David to be the soldier, right, to fight Goliath. They didn't know that. But God had chose David to be the winner here, to fight Goliath. He had a job to do, and maybe he didn't even know himself, right? But there he was met with discouragement, persecution from his brother, you know, like, why are you down here and all this? But he just kept on going. He just kept on going. And it says, just like, you know, arrayed in white robes, whence came they? Who are these people? These are people that went through these things, and they just were more than conquerors. They just kept going, kept pressing on. And it says here, and Eliab said to him, why comest down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I wondered about that, so I looked that up. He did leave a keeper with the sheep. But anyway, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. But he did not know David. He did not know David. He was accusing him that he had pride and naughtiness of heart. But he said, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You know, there's a cause, saints, that's greater than us. There's a cause to be faithful that's greater than myself or what I might want to do. There's a cause greater than you and I in the church of God, where he puts us and places us. We need to stay under the shadow of his wing. And unless he moves us, we need to be where he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do or go where he wants us to go, right? We need to obey God. And so he said, is there not a cause? Always remember that. There's a cause that's more important than us. There's a cause that's more important than anything, that we got to be faithful to God. Because there's many people that our life touches, whether we may not think so. We may not think that we touch other people's lives, but we do more than we realize, every one of us. And you're important to God. Let me put it that way. You are a place where God wants you to be. You must be faithful. And even if it's hard sometimes, you ask God to help you to be inspired, to be more than a conqueror. You can do this. Not through our strength. We don't have the strength, but through Christ we can do it. We can be what God wants us to be. If there's a cause, the Church of God, that's a great cause. And, you know, the Lord wants us to go on for the Lord. So David said, he heard these words. And then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I don't know what Saul thought about David at that moment. You know, I know that the giant was like 9 feet, I think 9 feet, 9 inches tall or something like that. Very tall giant. But there David was maybe 3 times smaller than him. A little shepherd boy, and he's telling Saul, I'm going to fight Goliath. But he says to him, and Saul says, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. And you know, looking at it, you would think that. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. So we're not to look at circumstances or look at the person and think they can't do that, because with Christ they can do anything. And so, you know, it says, thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. He's practiced fighting. He knows how to fight. And David said unto Saul, but I can tell you a story about my life. See, you know, all of us have a story. And each one of us don't really know the whole story, right? We know parts of it. But God knows the story. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He knew God had took him through, and God had helped him to slew a, that's not a small thing, you know. He slew a lion and a bear, and so he just compared it. You know, I think about that song, compared to God, how's that song go? Anyway, compared to God, everything's small. There's no really comparison at all compared to God. He's so much greater. He's so much powerful. So he was kind of comparing that, this lion, this bear, you know, this Philistine, God can help me fight him. And so the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this Philistine shall be as one of them. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So there was something he convinced Saul that he could do this job. He saw something in him. You know, saints, that's what people need to see in you and I, is a determination, not faltering in the battle, being faithful, being just going on, being strong, being in God's name, in Jesus' name, that we can do these things. And this is what he did. And he said, and Saul armed David with his armor. Now this is nothing. Sometimes people try to put things on you that you can't handle, you can't work that way. He tried to put his armor on him and tried to do it his way, his thinking he was helping David. But that wasn't the way he said, no, I can't. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. He said, I don't know how to work with this. And so, you know, this is nothing that comes up in our life. Sometimes people will try to direct us and help us out, think they're trying to do good, but they're not getting God's will in this, see. And so he took his staff in his hand. He said, I know how I fought that bear and lion. This way God will help me. He chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. But when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. And you know what? I just can imagine that that wasn't too easy to hear all that cursing and swearing, or, you know what I'm trying to say, those bad words that he was saying to David. You know, he was saying all these hard things. But David had to just not think about that. He had to think about that God's going to help me. God's going to help me. So when we hear the roaring of the lion, it said the devil is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. When we hear that, we have to try to shut our ears and our minds and just think, God's going to help me. And we're going to speak it, that God is going to help me. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I will do these things. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Saints, there is power in our words. Don't ever forget that. When we are fighting spiritual battles, there's power in our words. And David said the words. He said the words. I come to thee in the name of the Lord. I'm not coming in myself. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I've seen healings among the saints. I've seen healings by people just accepting and speaking it and standing up and rebuking it. And it's happened because they believed and they had faith and they spoke it. You know, it says, and it also comes through fasting and prayer. But you know, it says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He ran. He didn't just walk a little bit. He didn't hesitate, but he ran right toward the battle with confidence. And David put his hand in his bag. He took thence a stone, slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And we want to give God the glory in this story. It wasn't just David, but it was David's actions. It was David having faith. It's just like us. But it's God that does the healing. It's God that works the miracles. And it's God that took that stone and hit the Goliath right in the forehead, right in, probably had so much armor, there's probably just a little space in the forehead that was open, and there's where that stone went. And that stone hit him in the forehead. And it said here, he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. But anyway, this is a story, a wonderful story. But you know, this would encourage us that we can come through tribulations and trials and battles like David. The battle's not ours. There's a little song that says, battle's not mine, said little David. I don't know if anyone knows that song. Maybe we can sing when I sit down. But the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine. I'm in your favor. I give it all to you. That's where we need to make sure that we're in God's favor. We're living right, we're doing right, and we're in his favor. He will take care of the battle. Lord, one of the last scripture I wanted to read over here was, well, a couple more, but Revelations 5:2, I want to read this. Revelations 5 in the second chapter is talking about the sea of glass. It said, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. You know what? I think it's 15. Let's turn to 15. Revelations 15, 2. I'm sorry, I didn't, it was 5, it's 15. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and then they had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now we have a song in our songbook, I stand upon the sea of glass that's mingled with Jehovah's fire. You know, we have got the victory over the beast. We know what the beast is. Catholicism, sectism, the beast, the image to the beast, all sectism. We have got the victory over it. Amen. And it says here, we stand upon the sea of glass. Praise God. The saints have got the victory. Those are the white robes. arrayed in white robes, and they come through great tribulations and they keep the victory. And 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, we are running in a race, saints. We're in a race to make it to heaven. And we can do this in Jesus' name. We can make, we can be more than conquerors. And 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, it says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we in an incorruptible. People that run in a physical race, they just get themselves in shape. They exercise, they eat right, they drink right, they do everything, they sleep enough, they do everything to get physically shaped. There's people that's dedicated to that, to win a crown in this world, to be something in this world. But we are doing these things. We're fighting a spiritual army, and we're denying ourselves and doing these things because we love God, and we are going after that white robe. We're going after making heaven our home. And it says here, and so it says, but we are trying to do this to obtain. They do it for a corruptible crown. It doesn't mean anything hardly at all. To this world it might. They might put their crown up at home somewhere, or their statue, their trophy. But it doesn't mean so much, does it really? But the ones that received incorruptible crown, a white robe, that make it to heaven. It says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Dear saints, we have to keep our flesh under. Our flesh is our enemy in a way, because it fights against us, and we have to deny our flesh. And it says, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So see, we got to all, no matter how long we've been saved, we got to keep our flesh under. Got to be, what, run this race. We want to run this race, and we want to make it to heaven. We can be courageous like little David. We can do it through Christ. And we, you know, whatever Goliath comes up, I know one time I had a dream, I believe the Lord gave me, I can't remember what I was going through at the time, but in this dream, there was a great big heavy dresser, like kind of like this pulpit, like a big heavy thing I cannot pick up. I don't know if this is fastened down, but I couldn't pick it up. But I picked it up when I said, in the name of Jesus. Because the devil in the dream was coming after me. He was coming after me, the spirit. And I picked up this big dresser. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And I threw it on the devil and smashed him. But you know, I can't pick up a dresser. But it was through Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I did. So the Lord was trying to show me something in that dream. That no matter how heavy it is, no matter how big it is, how no impossible that you can't pick it up, in the name of Jesus, you can pick up any problem, any mountain, any trouble, and you can cast it on the enemy, and he's destroyed. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know if that sister knows that song about little David. Okay, maybe we can sing that little song. Pray for me. Big song.
That you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Oh, little David was so small, and Goliath was so tall. Oh, the odds were just grass too high for poor little David. Oh, he took off all of his load, and with the power of God he was clothed. He said, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David, Lord, it's thine, and I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but I'm so glad you let me see that you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. To you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David, unafraid, before the giant he stood that day. Oh, it seemed to be the end for poor little David. Just like the lion and the bear that he slew, he said, Goliath's gonna come down too, for the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David, Lord, it's thine, and I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but I'm so glad you let me see that you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David stood so tall, and that giant now looks so small. Oh, sweet victory would reign for poor little David. For he gave the battle to the one who had the record of getting things done. He said, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David, Lord, it's thine, and I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but I'm so glad you let me see that you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Oh, no, the battle's not mine, I give it.